Digital Reap on the app, on your smartphone, on ads, YouTube, and Facebook. The Sports Cast. Expect the unexpected.
The update presented by The Sports Cast.
The Sports Cast, May 12th, 2025. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Facebook, X, and Apple Podcasts, also Spotify. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And you can also listen to us on online digital radio. Visit our website, thesportscast.net. Also, you can follow us on X and Instagram at the Sportscast One, and check out our app, the Sportscast for iOS. Blowouts and blowouts, NBA road teams winning, NHL playoffs. We also got soccer news: Tottenham going to a European finale. And join us all the way from Northeast Maine, Hal Phillips. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santi. Always a pleasure to be here.
How's the weather up there? I heard there's storms in the summertime over there, or not so much?
No, we've spring has finally arrived. I just spent an hour getting all the storm windows out of my windows because we're getting our house painted, and I've never really had a house painted. And in order for them to paint the trim, you know, on each window, they have to get at those things from the outside, and I had to take all the storm windows and screens out from the inside. Not a fun job. I don't recommend it to anyone.
We're here in Florida. We get impact windows. What is storm windows in Maine is?
Basically, in the winter, it's a two panes of glass that come down and seal it. But in the summer, you slide the bottom glass up and you slide a screen down. So it's three actual windows in one normal window space. And yeah, it's a very different window scheme than you've got down there. Because we got bugs here. You got bugs too, but all you have is screens probably.
Yeah, we do. And you guys, probably that type of window is used up in New York, Maine, Connecticut, or is only a Maine thing? I don't know.
No. It's a Northeast thing. We have four seasons here, so we got to be ready from the window angle.
We only have two.
Yeah.
Well, it's one, actually. 1.5. 1 week of cold weather in Florida, and that's it. Anyways, let's go to the top headlines yesterday. Pacers demolish, crush. I don't know what word to use, but to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers 129-109. Largest halftime lead, Hal. 41 points. What can you say about this?
Well, I think they sucked the life out of the Cavaliers. That's what they did. And I wasn't really expecting it. I think that's part of why people have reacted so viscerally to this game. After the Cavs came back and won game three in Indiana, I thought people, and I will include myself among them, were ready to watch the Cavaliers, you know, maybe win game two, or certainly contest game two. And they did not do that. 129-109 is the final. It's weird to see a 20-point win that doesn't give any indication as to just how wide the gap was between these two teams. It just did not come off well at all for the Cavaliers, and they look toast. And Donovan Mitchell went off injured, and they looked like they were playing a preseason game. Their setups, they were looking around at each other like they didn't know what to do. It was a weird collapse.
What do you think happened? I could put it towards injuries. I know for game two, not all their starters, it was just Mitchell. But what happened to this Cavs team? Number one seed, they beat the Heat.
Yep.
But what do you think happened? Is it a matchup issue? What do you think it is?
Well, that's right. They did destroy the Heat. They didn't just beat them. They destroyed them. And everyone thought, oh, well, this team is primed and ready to go deep into the playoffs. I don't know. Garland was hurt. Their point guard was hurt for the first two games and did not play. But the Cavaliers have maybe the best reserve guard in the NBA in Ty Jerome. He was terrible. I think he is 10 for 42 from two-point range in this series. So he's been absolutely terrible. So that was a problem. Playing without Garland is obviously a big issue. they played game two without Mobley and ended up winning the game only to lose it at the death. I think that was really, let's go back. Game two, they played a really valiant game without Mobley, without Garland, and without a third player that I'm forgetting. And they nearly won it. They had it won. And they gave up that weird play to where Halliburton missed a free throw, got the rebound, ran out, and made a three to win the game in the dying moments. Everyone was stunned. All of a sudden, they're down 2-0 after losing both games at home. I think they lost the series there. I think they know they can't beat this team four times out of five. They valiantly won game three, but they're just out of gas. And now they're hurt. And Mobley and Garland are legitimately hurt. And I think that the team is probably toying with the idea of really not playing them and mortgaging their future by throwing them out there just for, you know, competitive sake.
How about this Pacers team? Halliburton, I think I read an article where he always wanted to be the hero, wanted to be that Michael Jordan-esque. He's having that series. This is nothing new because we talked about this last week. Halliburton took this team all the way against the Boston Celtics in the ECF. Your thoughts over this team?
Many thoughts. Well, you know, the Celtics played this team in the Eastern Finals last year. They're a very good team. They're a very different sort of team. People complain about how the NBA is full of three-point drive and kick teams. It was a sameness to it. Not this team. They play completely differently. They press. Geez, they play full court press. They move the ball around. They play inside, outside. They run plays. They have three bigs who can shoot. And then Halliburton. Halliburton is a strange sort of case. I think everyone fell in love with him last year. He hurt his hamstring. He was never quite the same. Then they buried him during the Olympics, of all things, because he didn't play. And they buried him this year because they thought that he had started slowly. It's the same guy. And when everyone got healthy and he got healthy, he's the same player. He's a very good player. He's an all-NBA guard. He's only 24. He's a very, very talented player. I love the Pacers because they are so different. They go 10 deep. TJ McConnell still plays for this team. They have about six guards, all of whom can do something very, very well. And then they have enough bigs to make it sort of work. We talked about Pascal Siakam last time. We were on together about what a perfect stretch four he is in this era of the NBA. They're just a weird ass team that plays like no one else and very, you know, very hard to prepare for. And I'm not surprised at all that they beat the Cavaliers. I thought they would give Cavaliers a real hard time because they're so difficult to play. And I think if you look at their season series, they played them very tough. I didn't think they were going to sweep them out or win in five, which they might just do tonight.
There he said it. Hal, I was going to ask you what are the chances. You're saying the Pacers plus the injury from Mitchell ankle. Those things are not fun. So I'm thinking the Pacers are going to close it out.
It's a weird. I mean, the Cavaliers are. I don't think they're far away. I think what they really are lacking are really talented wings. DeAndre Hunter, not the answer. Max Strus, he should be your eighth guy. Dean Wade, I'm not sure he's very good. I think the other four pillars, Garland and Mitchell and Mobley and Jared Harris, are good. I think they're a team you could win with if they have talented wings who can create, who can guard the other people's big guys. I don't think they're far away, but man, this is really a two straight years of a playoff disappointment. And they're going to be thinking about what to do next. How do they acquire a first class wing or two to make this team better? They had some options there. Caris LeVert was okay. Hunter's okay. Strus is just okay. What do they do? I had a friend of mine who thinks that their backcourt is too small. Garland and Mitchell can't guard anybody. I think that is a problem when you see Mathurin and Halliburton beating up on them, taking them down low. They've got weaknesses. They're a 64-win team, but, you know, winning 60 games in the regular season is, you know, has been done a lot. Not a lot of those teams go on and win the championship. It's not a given. And, man, they didn't come very close.
ESPN report this morning, Giannis is open for other teams. Could the Cavs be a good spot?
No, they don't have the stuff to trade back. San Antonio has the stuff to trade back. Oklahoma City has the stuff to trade back. Atlanta has some stuff to trade back. I guess Charlotte has the the draft picks to go after and make a put a package together. If they can get two or three players in a draft pick, or two players and three draft picks, they'll probably feel like they did pretty well. But not Cleveland. I can't see that happening.
We'll see what happens. Let's go out in San Francisco. Timberwolves. Anthony Edwards came alive in the second half. Julius Randle got traded there this past year, posted his first career playoff triple-double. How? And the T-Wolves beat the Warriors 102-97 in San Francisco to seize a 2-1 series advantage.
Well, I feel vindicated. I thought that the T-Wolves trade of Cat for Randle and Dante DiVincenzo was good. I think they were happy to get out from under Cat's contract, but everyone said, "Oh, Cat's the best big man in the NBA, or one of the best." And he's good. I thought it was good because I thought it gave them a lot more diversity in the way they play offense. I thought Randle on the wing was a real weapon that they could use. They could, and that now Naz Reid was ready to step in and take over that second big position from Cat. And do a lot of the outside shooting that he did. So they started really slowly, and everyone said, this isn't working. And I was like, it's December. Well, now it's working. And they're beating the hell out of the Warriors, who are, I think if Steph was in the series, we would not be talking this way. But it feels like that they've run out of gas and bodies. I think they really only have about six guys that they can play now with Steph out. And it poor Moses Moody, who I really like as a player. I thought he had made a lot of progress for the Warriors. I think he threw up four air balls in the last game. It was painful to watch. He's basically played himself out of viability. They just don't have the bodies anymore. And with Steph and Jimmy Butler and Dre, they probably could make this a series, but I think it's over. And I think Minnesota is going to close it out tonight by basically winning game four and going up 3-1, at which point I'm not sure that the Warriors bring Steph back to even try because he's got a hamstring and he's probably going to be just he's so old. I've pulled my hamstring at 35. Takes a long time to come back.
Yeah, apparently he could come back by game six, which is on Thursday this week. But Jimmy Butler taking care of that role he had, that playoff Jimmy, is not coming alive, I guess, for this series yet.
He's all by himself. He I think he's game. I think he's availed himself very well. Especially when Steph was on the floor, I thought that they posed real problems for teams because Jimmy Butler is a pretty great number two in terms of scoring options and a guy who's going to take the other team's best offensive player on the other end. He's a pretty good Robin to Steph's Batman for a veteran team, especially with Draymond, raising all sorts of hell everywhere else on the court. But you could sort of see it in his eyes when Steph went out. He was like, "Oh, dude, I don't want to be on this team and having to lead it. He's too old. They're too thin." Oh. And he played a very good game in game three, but you could tell he was out of ideas and out of energy. He had to do all the scoring. What did he finish with? 35? That's a great game.
33 points. It's not bad, but still not enough. Next one, Kuminga, 30, which I never seen him score that much.
Well, Kuminga, that's all Kuminga can do, and that's sort of the problem that Kerr has with him, and he doesn't really want to do anything else. But every time he comes on and does this, he has this attitude like, "Hey, here I am. This is what I do." Unfortunately, Kerr's made it clear that he doesn't really want to give time to someone who doesn't do everything else. So, but he's one of those six guys that they've got. He's going to play a lot. Wow. And wouldn't it be funny if they stole this game and sent it back to Minnesota? I think that the Warriors brain trust is a little wary of that happening because then the pressure to play Steph in game five or six is there. Whereas if they go down 3-1, I think they bow out gracefully and save him for maybe one more run. Because they do have Jimmy locked up, I think, for another year. Like, he has a $50 million option. Why wouldn't he take it? That was why it was so hard to trade him. And if they pick up one more guy, maybe they're good enough to squeeze into a Western Conference final. But we'll have to see about that. First things first, they got to beat Minnesota, and I don't think they can.
I don't think they can. San Francisco, Pat Riley even said he had no regrets of trading Butler in the whole situation this past year, but it definitely affected the team, I thought.
Well, I don't know what the Heat does. You're down there. What do you hear? I mean, that they've They Wiggins is a decent player, but they were perfectly healthy, and their starting five isn't terrible, and they were humbled by a team that is going out in the second round, Cleveland, and I don't know what they do.
Yeah, that's something that the Heat are thinking about what to do next. We'll find out. Mm-hmm. Maybe Giannis. I don't think KD, but you never know. All right, so let's go to the East. Your Boston Celtics won the game three. They were down 0-2, losing both games in Boston. The Celtics built a 20-point lead over the Knicks on Saturday for the third game in a row. The difference this time, they didn't blow it, cruising to 115-93 win to a quiet Madison Square Garden, which is really rare, and avoiding falling into a 3-0 hole. How you know all about this team? What happened? What's going on?
Well, if you watch the Celtics a lot, what happened in the first two games happens sort of frequently. Every 1 out of 10 games, they just stop making shots in the second half. And what's really frustrating is that they don't really do anything about it. They don't really change the way they play. They just keep missing and missing and missing and missing. And sometimes they pull the game out because they never stop playing defense. And other times they lose to Charlotte or some team they should never lose to. And you chalk it up to stubbornness, and that's the way they play, and they're going to win 60 games, and they do. In the playoffs, it feels a little different, and that's what happened to them twice. They just stopped making shots, and they kept taking long fadeaway threes, and it's incredibly frustrating to watch when the game matters. That being said, they should be up 3-0 in the series. They're not. Wow. They're going to try and tie it tonight. If I was a betting man, I would say they're going to. And then we have a really interesting three-game series to close this one out. But I'm so tired of people talking to me about how the Madison Square Garden's going to be rocking.
Hostile environment.
Yeah, whatever. How hostile has it been since 1973? When
it's the Phil Jackson days.
Exactly. I mean, we'll someone said, oh, this is going to be the biggest game the Knicks play since 1999, you know, when they lost the finals in five games to the Spurs.
Wasn't it four?
Was it four? I thought it was five. Did they get swept?
I think they got swept.
You're probably right. I was trying to give them credit. Listen to me. It's really quite something when you take the Yankees out of the picture and you know, get baseball out of there. Baseball, football, hockey, the teams in New York are just terrible. I mean, the Jets are one of the worst franchises, you know, in the history of American sports franchise. They won the Super Bowl in 1969. They literally have not done anything since.
Right.
And you know, the Knicks, they're always talking about Walt Frazier and Willis Reed this and Bill Bradley that. They've not won since 1973. I mean, I don't want to bring it up and rub it in their face. I know I'm a Boston asshole and that's
your
my
true colors are shining out.
They keep bringing it up. They keep sort of they're like that guy who is getting killed all the time, and all he does is keep trash talking you. It's really awkward.
So you think this team can turn around and win this series, or the Knicks is not as easy as you thought?
Look, the Knicks have a very interesting team, but so far, OG Anunoby, Mikal Bridges, and Jason Hart just haven't scored enough to make them really competitive or a threat to win the series. Any one of those guys gets hot, and I think the Celtics are going to have a real hard time, because here's the other side of that trade we talked about with Minnesota. They picked up Kat and let Hartenstein go to OKC because they thought that with Mitchell Robinson and Karl Anthony Towns, we have two bigs that we can play alongside each other. We can let Mitchell Robinson be the center of our second unit, and we're going to be able to play defense the whole game. And we have all these athletic wing defenders, and we have Brunson. So that's a good team, but their wings have not scored enough to make it work so far. And the Celtics are better than them. So if the Celtics shoot well, they're going to win. And if they don't, then we're going to have a close series. You know, if the Knicks win tonight, I still think we may have a game seven. If they don't win tonight, I think they're done, and we'll see how it goes. But I don't disrespect the Knicks. I think the Knicks have a really interesting team that somehow has been able to maintain their fit, you know, Tibbs plays these guys 40 minutes a night. I don't know how they're so fresh at the end of these games in the playoffs. Everyone else is absolutely wilting. Did you see the Clippers at the end of the Denver Nuggets series? They were done. They were done in game six. They didn't have the legs.
They look frail.
They look frail and old and tired. The Knicks, for whatever it's worth, do not look tired. They come at you and they have energy and they don't give up. So I have respect for them, but I think of those Japanese pitchers who, you know, grow up throwing complete game after complete game after complete game, and everyone says, "Oh, they're going to hurt themselves." Well, no, they know how to pitch deep into games because they've been doing it their whole lives. The Knicks are used to playing deep into games with six guys because they did it all season. They didn't develop a bench. So they're fit. And if they win tonight, they've got the Celtics in a really bad spot and one bad shooting night and the Celtics are done. But if they don't win tonight, I think they're cooked.
Interesting. So it's a pivotal game four. Being down 3-1 is not good for you guys. So we'll see what happens when the Knicks does. Madison Square Garden, we'll see if they turn it up. Let's go out west. The Thunder tying up the series 2-2 against the Nuggets. SGA was all smiles on Sunday after the Thunder beat the Nuggets 92-87 to even the series at two games apiece. Out. Game five is tomorrow night in Oklahoma City, where the Thunder are 39-7 this season. This series is interesting, too. They're young, Oklahoma City, versus the Nuggets, a little bit older. Your thoughts so far?
This is the best series of the second round, as far as I'm concerned. Every game so far has been interesting. There's three of them have been very close. There was one blowout where Oklahoma City just destroyed them in game two, I guess it was. But the Nuggets are determined to just sort of hang around in these games. And then at the very end, they try to out-execute Oklahoma City. What's interesting to me is we've talked and heard a lot about how physical the playoffs have been, and they have been extraordinarily physical, more so than usual. But the one series where that's hard to distinguish from the regular season is this one, because Oklahoma City just fouls you all the time. And if the referees decide they're going to call the fouls, their opponents have a chance to win the game. And that's happened in each of the two games that Denver has won. They've gone to the line a ton, and they've hung around by virtue of that, and only two games. But if you don't get those calls, Oklahoma City is deeper than you. They're younger than you, and they're just gonna
fast.
They're fast, and they're just gonna hound you into submission. What's really interesting is how much they've affected Jokic. He's had some monster games. I think he was 40-22 in game one. Only six assists. They're not letting him just play the point forward. They're all over him, and they're ducking into passing lanes. So he's looking, and they're taking it away, and he's having to go to his second and third option like a quarterback. They're in his head. They've made him look ordinary, or at least human, and that's not easy to do. So I give them full marks for their effort. I don't like the way they play. They are just even every rebound just is, they're so grabby and they just foul you, foul, foul, foul. And they play 10 guys and they basically dare the referee crew to call them. And if you think that, you know, these playoffs have been physical and grabby and you haven't seen Oklahoma City play, you've not seen anything. These guys have been doing it all year. And that's what makes them so good.
25 points, SGA, Jalen Williams, 10, Alex Caruso, 10, which I forgot he was there. He's the oldest player at 31 years old. Can you believe it? He's the oldest player. He's a veteran. Casey Wallace, 11, Aaron Wiggins, 11. Nuggets, as Howell said, had 27 points. Christian Braun, 17 points. Jamal Murray, 17 points. Aaron Gordon, 15. Aaron Gordon, he's a clutch shooter, isn't he?
Yeah, he's turned into a really interesting player. You know, he was an 18-10 guy when he played for the Magic and had no help. And he was probably the best player on that team. And you're like, oh, he's a lot like an NBA player, 6'10 guy who has tools on a bad team. Yeah, he's going to put up big numbers. Well, he's about the perfect foil for Jokic. Does all the dirty work. But he's developed a nice shooting touch. And I think we talked about him last week. It's Interesting to see that he, in a game like this, where they're so determined to take away Jamal Murray and Jokic, he's open a lot. And so is Christian Braun.
He's that third option, right? You think Gordon's that third?
Both those two guys. Look at how many shots Christian Braun's been put up. I mean, he's never shot this much that I've noticed. He has to. If he doesn't shoot, Oklahoma City's really not allowing anybody else to shoot. The only problem with that is that Russell Westbrook is also one of those guys who's been open. He takes a lot of shots.
Yeah, I don't see him much, but he played 27 minutes, but interesting.
You know, he's still very valuable. He still plays defense. He's all over the court. He handles the ball. He's one of the best six men in the league. If they had one or two more guys on the bench, they'd be, you know, maybe not favored to win this series, but I would be more sanguine about their prospects. As it is, I think they're walking a very, very fine line. When they don't play Jokic, they have to have four starters and Peyton Watson in the game. They just don't have the depth to keep up with Oklahoma City. And I don't know. I thought Jokic looked a little tired in game four. We'll see what he looks like tonight or tomorrow night. That should be an outstanding game to watch.
He's the only big guy that I know that can shoot 3-pointers pretty good.
He's been terrible. I think he's shot 29-30% from the field period in this playoff. And they're still in the series. So it's sort of like the Knicks, and we were talking about those three guys have shot the ball really poorly, and the Knicks are up two games to one. Jokic has not been that great shooting the ball. If he turns it around, you know, they could steal the series.
So do you think the series is a toss-up for you? It's 50-50.
No, I don't. I feel like it's a toss-up numerically. It's 2-2, and the Nuggets are a very good team, but I sort of feel like Oklahoma City is going to go back home and destroy them. And even if the Nuggets can pull out a win in game six, they just don't have the horses. Every game that goes on, all the things that we've talked about wear down Denver more and more. So they just don't have the bodies. If they can get into deep into a game, they can steal these games. They've already shown themselves able to do that twice.
And keep in mind, Nuggets in the first round, they went to a 7-game series. So they're kind of tired.
That was an outstanding series too. But did take a lot out of them.
It will catch up to you. Let's go soccer. Your Tottenham Hotspur is going to a European final versus Manchester United. Some people call this the toilet bowl. Your thoughts over their path?
I don't know. Now they are. I think they're the bottom three teams in a 20-team league. 18, 19, and 20, they get relegated. Manchester United is 16th in the Premiership, and Tottenham is 17th. So literally the two worst teams that aren't going down,
Tottenham dwellers,
are in the Europa League, and the winner goes to the Champions League. Well, it's the only chance that Tottenham had to go to the Champions League. And so I'm going to support them, and I hope they do well. It's a very strange feeling, and it's not just because Tottenham has famously hasn't won, you know, anything since 1961. It's that no one expected this to happen. Everyone could see that they weren't playing well and that didn't deserve to go anywhere. That their coach is probably going to get fired. You know, here they are with a chance to sneak into the Champions League through the back door. It's, this team was in the Champions League final, the Champions League final
that Liverpool beat.
You know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, under
back in 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, was it? Yeah, it was during COVID.
During COVID, and our Liverpool won it.
Yeah, exactly. So
Liverpool.
They've had good seasons. They've played in big European finals. This one isn't even arguably as big, but it feels very strange. I don't like Manchester United. All their fans are front runners, so we should win. And I by all rights, you know, if there's a God, but I wouldn't put any money on this game. Can you tell that I'm not a betting man?
You're not a betting man. I can tell. Did you hear about the Pochettino coming back as coach for Tottenham? You heard that rumor?
I did not hear that. Is he tired of coaching the U.S. or just after the World Cup? I hope.
I don't know why his name was brought up, but you know how these tabloids are in Europe. They can't say anyone. But this is a true tabloid. Ancelotti's going to Brazil. He's leaving Real Madrid in a week or two. and he's joining the Brazil to hopefully win their sixth championship, get out of that funk. They got good, a lot of star players. They play in the best clubs in the world. Can Ancelotti turn this team around?
I don't know. I watched Brazil play Argentina in World Cup qualifying a month ago, the last window. And
4-1.
Oh. Yeah, the Argentinians just humiliated them. And when you looked at Brazil, you know, they're playing Bruno Guimarães and Luis Paqueta in midfield. You know, these are also ran midfielders at Newcastle and West Ham. These aren't the best midfielders in the world. They're not up to Brazil's sort of standards when it comes to attacking players. And that's been true for a while now. I mean, let's be honest. They just don't have the horses. Ancelotti is a great coach. He's a really appealing character. I'm sure that if anybody could get anything out of that group, it'd be him. And I'm glad he's going to take them over. It makes the idea of Brazil at the World Cup a lot more fun and interesting.
First foreign coach ever for Brazil.
Is that right? Oh, wait, no. I thought Scolari was technically a Portuguese citizen.
He's Brazilian.
Okay. No. I defer.
Let me double check on my fact checkers here.
Maybe did Scolari come back and coach Portugal? Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
I don't know. He did coach Chelsea. He's from Brazil. Just read his Wikipedia.
Fair enough. Well, you know, it's if they're going to make an exception, he's the guy to make an exception for.
Well, good luck, Brazil. This is a good talented squad. Hopefully, he does it without Neymar, but who knows? Let's go predictions tonight. Celtics and Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Who do you got?
Celtics.
Celtics win. Timberwolves at the Warriors, 10 p.m.
Timberwolves
go up 3-1. And I was going to go NHL, but I am not going to touch that because I don't know.
You can ask me, but the Bruins missed the playoffs for the first time in 12 years this year. And, you know, what I've discovered over the decades is that I'm a hockey guy. I'm a mass hole. I love hockey. I love the Bruins. And the Bruins are almost always in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't pay attention that much to the Bruins during the regular season because my cable package or my YouTube TV doesn't have the New England Sports Network. So I don't see them a lot. But when your home team, when your team is in the NHL playoffs, it's a reason to watch them and all the other series so that even if they go out in the first round, when that happens, you are up to speed. And that you are interested in all the other series that are taking place. I've noticed that I'm just not up to speed now in the same way because the Bruins weren't involved. But I am rooting for the Winnipeg Jets because they won the President's Cup. They've been very good the last two or three years. And Canada really needs to win a Stanley Cup because they've not won since 1993. Wow. And this, of all years, is the year to break that streak.
Let's see what happens. Well, there you have it. A lot of sports went through NHL, NBA, and some Premier League, Europa League. A lot going on. What is the best way to reach you online and the status of your new book coming up next year?
Well, I'm delivering the manuscript this week. So it's coming out in January 2026. It's called Sibling Rivalry. It's about the U.S.-Mexico family feud and a lot of amazing stuff going on in that rivalry, but not just the soccer, the politics, the culture. The football community in North America that they basically share now and are cooperating on sharing. It's really quite something that to talk about and to write about. I hope people enjoy it. That's coming out in January. In the meantime, you can catch me at genzero.halphillips.net. That's my Instagram feed. That's my Threads feed. And you can catch me at halphillips.net as well.
Will you be following us the Club World Cup this summer? Won't you?
I will watch it. I'm interested to see what kind of teams the clubs bring over because that's usually exhibition time. And I know that I'm going to be watching very closely to see if Juve releases Wes McKennie and Tim Weah to play in the Gold Cup. That's way more important to me as a U.S. soccer fan, a U.S. MNT fan, because – you know, they need everybody on all hands on deck to not win it, but to at least play together for 3 weeks. So I hope that doesn't get in the way. I don't know. FIFA really wants this to work. And I think they just see it as a way to make more money. But I always thought that FIFA had enough money.
I thought so too. I guess it needed some extra cash. Anyways, $100 million the dollars prize. Madrid wants Trent Alexander to play. They want Xabi Alonso hired and all set. So I believe they're going all in for this tournament.
If you're Liverpool, if you're Real, why wouldn't you? I think you have every chance to win $100 million and also get your team solidified for the next year. The one thing we didn't talk about, Santi, was an amazing Clasico yesterday at Barcelona. Yes, what 4-3 match. Oh my God.
Wow. I didn't see it. I saw some clips on X, but it looked pretty good. Rafinha had 2 goals, I think.
Well,
and Mbappe had all three.
Rafinha had 3. No, Rafinha had 3. Mbappe had 3. It was 2-0 Real within 20 minutes, and it was 4-2 Barcelona at halftime. I mean, it was an insane goal fest, and just when you thought things calmed down, they couldn't stop each other, and Real had a million chances to score the tying goal, couldn't do it. So Barcelona beat them up and down this year, and I think they played, 4, 5, 6 times, and I don't think Real won.
No, so, I think Barcelona had a clean sweep this past season.
Editor Esteban, who worked on the book with me, invaluable editor. He is a massive Barcelona fan, so he could not be happier today that Real has been dispatched completely. But yeah, Barcelona's not participating. They're not playing in this Club World Cup.
No, they're not. I did not hear their name called.
Right. I'm not sure why that is.
I think they had to win the Liga? They had to win the Champions League to get in. I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't know why Inter Miami's in, but
that's a problem with the product here, Santi. Is I think that Barcelona's
not honest.
They're saying they're glad they don't have to go and like play all summer. That their players can rest. Can just reset. I mean, there's got to be some time off, some time down for these players, and the Club World Cup just gets in the way so that FIFA can get richer. I don't get it.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Tickets are being hard. They're having trouble on the tickets, but we'll see. Maybe people are like last minute.
Well, one more salient point from the book and from the Club World Cup is I think they're going to have trouble selling out these stadiums because I don't think Europeans and South Americans are going to come to this country to watch it. Tourism is hugely down in the Trump tariff era. And the Trump tariffs they're not just tariffs. They're snagging people off the street. I mean, I think it's depressed tourism, and I think it's going to continue. And it'll be fascinating to see what effect that has on this event and these games.
We'll see. We've got a year to turn around. All right, Hal. Appreciate you coming on to the Sportscast.
Always my pleasure, Santi.
And this was your update.